So Marco, how
Joe.
was Silicon Valley?
It was mostly San Francisco. It was good. I was there for a week. It was insanely busy. I think probably the best place to start would be where I was staying.
Yes. When you initially told me you were coming to San Francisco, I was like, I don't know. I had pictured more of a hotel kind of thing, but then you had like this whole arrangement happening, and I was like, this is interesting.
Yeah, so because we're a startup and therefore very conservative with money, we're looking for ways to save on that. And one of our advisors had a friend who was selling her house, and she had it fully staged, and it's beautiful. It's like this 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom mini mansion in Berkeley, gorgeous walkable area. And they had just repainted everything. And so, that becomes relevant in a minute. Anyway, we're staying there for free for a whole week, which is awesome. Saves like $2,500 over the course of the trip. And because they had staged everything, they neglected to put window coverings back up. And so it's this beautiful house with these beautiful floor-to-ceiling windows that all face their beautiful glass shower doors, which makes for super awkward getting ready in the morning in Berkeley.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we ended up hearing from everyone is that's just normal for Berkeley.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I'm not in tune with the Northern California lifestyle.
Yeah. It was funny too because the house was staged, so every day we had to sort of like change the bed linens before leaving for the day and like make everything look like a catalog.
Must have been a fun challenge, I guess, in a way.
It added like some interest to the mornings.
And also some time, I imagine. And for getting around, did you, I don't know, have a friend who was selling their car and then borrow their car while they were pretending to sell it? Or how did that work out?
No, but for the one day when we had to go down to Palo Alto and Cupertino, we borrowed our advisor's car, which is a very nice Mercedes. And so we were definitely slumming it.
Oh, you poor
Yeah.
things.
Oh, the traffic there is the worst.
I can't confirm or deny that other than the one, I think the last time I was up there was like 2009 and we drove through Silicon Valley and it was congested, but I can't remember if that was unusual or not because that's the only time I've been.
This took like 2.5 hours to go 40 kilometers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how many miles is that?
Like 25?
Oh, okay. So that's like LA traffic then. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely worse than Toronto traffic, which I always complain about.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I wouldn't enjoy that experience, of course, but I would say that's probably on par with Los Angeles. Which is depressing. So you managed to go around between the various companies, like can you disclose on the podcast the ones that you went to, the cafeterias that you dined in?
I feel like I can. So we made a joke that we were doing like the Silicon Valley cafeteria tour because we ended up going from like Google to Twitter to Airbnb to Dropbox, and anytime you go there, people want to show off their cafeterias, and it's just really, really funny. The amount of like effort they put into them, and eventually I want to write like a Yelp style review of all the different meals we had. I'd say the Salesforce Cafe had the best coffee. And Dropbox probably had the best food.
Interesting.
Yeah. Airbnb is really nice.
Like to look at? Do
Yeah.
they rent out other cafeterias and other businesses?
that would be funny. So in their office, all of their meeting rooms are made to look like their actual places that people post on Airbnb, so they model them based on
Oh, that's kind of also has a
that.
weird edge to it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of cool.
I know, but then you're sitting in something that feels like I don't know, a living room or a bedroom or something, and you're just like, this is a little strange for a conference room.
I guess it's more like if you think of an IKEA catalog and then how they have those like different rooms inside the store that match the catalog, that's what their office feels like.
That's also unsettling because then I just feel like I was in IKEA. Ah, panic. Get me out of here. But that's nice that you got to go visit all these places tour them and have the ability to compare the way they serve food and coffee.
It was really funny. It was great, though. Really great experience and learned a ton.
That's good. And you're settling back into things, normal lifestyle stuff in the Toronto area then?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say we've got another month of things being a little nutty, and then things will calm down.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to Ireland soon.
Is that for... that's for work, too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for the Web Summit.
What's the name of that one?
Web Summit.
Oh. I thought it was just a Web Summit. I didn't realize it was the Web Summit.
I think, like, 20,000 people go. It's just, like, this insane conference that goes for a week. Great list of speakers, like Ed Catmull and Stewart and the CTO from Facebook.
I have strong feelings against Ed Catmull, but
that's why.
You see, he got everyone to agree to this illegal thing where they all agreed not to poach employees from other companies.
That one, where you make less money because of him.
Yeah, so he's a smart guy in many ways, and one of them happens to be evil, but that's about it. And
did you hold your pinky finger up to your mouth as you said that?
No, because this is a podcast, that affectation would have been lost on everyone. But wait, for the listeners, I totally did, and you can imagine that I did, but I didn't, because I already confessed to that. So Marco, so, now that you're back from all of your traveling, that's a lot of traveling to do. I assume that you had to do some of that traveling with the assistance of some sort of a guided program that would tell you where things were in relation to you and the paths to take to get there, as well as estimated arrival times.
I believe you're referring to technology called maps.
Ah, yes. So when you were out palling around with all of Silicon Valley and getting from destination to destination, were you using the wonderful Apple Maps in iOS 9, or were you using the previous iteration of Maps, which it's still weird to me that they choose to make that an OS thing, but whatever. Or were you using Google Maps?
I was using Apple Maps because it works with the watch, which is great for walking directions.
Okay. And so it was doing the little tap-tap, whatever, buzz-buzz, left-right thing?
Yeah. And for the most part, it worked really well. The transit part was really, really cool.
Yeah, because that's one of the very few cities that actually has the transit mapped.
Yeah. So we have really terrible transit here, and so which we are supported by it. And it was interesting to see it in a city that has awesome transport, and it just worked. The transportation side of things worked really well. The only comment I'd have is it would be awesome to be able to shift the path if you want to, say, walk to a transit terminal instead of take a bus to a transit terminal, especially when, like, the difference is, like, 2 minutes. So when you have, like, these, like, multi-stage processes, they need more customization, like, how you actually get to which parts of it.
Oh, I see. Because when you select transit, then it's trying to give you an all transit route instead of giving you a walking and transit route.
Or it wants, like, the quickest route, but it's kind of like walk 50 meters to this bus stop, wait 10 minutes, get on a bus, go to the station, whereas it could be walk 7 minutes to the station.
That doesn't make any sense. How's that fast?
Well, I think it just defaults to, like, an all transit route, like you said.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I said, but then you said no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, like, because there's walking, like, intermixed with it. But
Yeah.
That's just, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's always walking intermixed, like with Google or anything else, where it's because you're obviously not always going to get immediately from one point to another point. But the fact that it tries to use the buses so much and doesn't provide you with an alternative where you can walk to a station is a little disappointing.
Yeah, and like just being able to kind of flip those options, like if you were able to swipe out of it and say like, no, I don't want this part of it, I'm gonna walk that, or like switch this from like BART to Caltrain depending on like which route you want to go. And then there's the other stuff where there's trains that are on schedules and you need to figure out when you need to leave to get the next train, and at night they only come say every half hour or 1 hour, and if you miss it you end up kind of screwed. And it's really difficult within something like Maps to figure out, well, when do I need to leave to catch the next train?
So there's no scheduling provided. I thought there was a...
It has the scheduling, but it's not clear as to, like, when the train leaves. It's just, it tells you what your total time will be, and it takes into account how long you have to wait at the train station. But it doesn't say, like, leave in 25 minutes to catch the next train. Based okay. on how long it would take you to get there.
My understanding, and I can't test this because of where I am, but my understanding was that you can provide it with a arrival time that you would like, and then it will give you directions based around that. But maybe that isn't available on all of the clients for iOS 9 maps. I mean, were you always trying to do the mapping directions on the watch device, or were you trying to do it on the phone and then it would pass to the watch device?
Always on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I could have sworn that I read a review. Again, I have to say that because I can't test it, but where...
I might have just missed it.
Yeah. There's something I thought I read where you can set an arrival time just like in Google Maps, and they were comparing it to the two things. And that would sort of be my expected behavior, because I would always want to arrange based on that, because that would change like what is actually running, of course, because like different routes will become available at different times. And so if you set the destination time that you'd like to be somewhere, then that seems like it would make more sense. But you test that and let us all know in the episode released in, I don't know, another month from now.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. But part of the reason why I said I can't test it is because transit is not available in Los Angeles. And it was a little confusing for me when I was trying to figure that out at the launch of iOS 9 Maps, because I could have sworn I had read it somewhere, and it turns out I did. It's in Macworld and in Wired's coverage that they say Los Angeles will be available in the fall when iOS 9 ships, but... it's not, and I had several angry people write back to me after my blog post about Apple Maps to tell me that it was never on the WWDC slide. So I was like, okay, I don't know. It was in the reporting, so whatever. I wouldn't imagine that Macworld and Wired would pull the city of Los Angeles out of thin air. So I assume somebody misspoke, perhaps. And maybe it's coming or something. I don't know.
But do you take transit there or do you drive?
Well, see, here's the thing. They probably didn't prioritize it because most people drive. It's, I don't know if you know this, but Los Angeles is pretty infamous for cars. But and there are a freeway system, which in many other areas of the country is not called a freeway system. But
what's the difference between a freeway system and a highway system?
Exactly. It's just a different name. And also everyone says like the 10 and the 101 and the 405 instead of I-10 and I-4 or, you know, that kind of stuff. They would say that in other parts of the...
We're like that. So here we have the 400 series highway, which is like the provincial highway. And everyone's like, just take the 401 or the 407. And within the city, we have one expressway system, which is actually like three different regional highways connected, but we just call it the expressway.
Okay.
So we put the in front of everything.
Okay. Well, then similar to us, but most of the East Coast people that I'm familiar with use the I-whatever thing to refer to all of the interstate highway system stuff. But doesn't matter, because Well, we're largely known for the car stuff, and so we're not really known for the transit stuff. There is transit available, and a lot of people rely on it, but it is not relied on by many people because you have it deployed mostly in areas that are for like really, really far out suburbs to get to like downtown Los Angeles, and only on like one side. So if you look at the map for it, it's a little weird. And they've just been starting to build out over the last 10 years. There's a metro line that will run down Wilshire all the way to Santa Monica, but that's not going to be completed until like, I think, 2035 or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, it takes a long time to tunnel underneath the very developed area of Wilshire. But there's the Expo line, which is a light rail line above ground, mostly above ground. I think there's like one little tunnel that passes through or something. But that is already in business to Culver City and will be in business, I think, next year all the way to Santa Monica. And that runs along Exposition Boulevard, which is a little further south from Wilshire. And so I've been on the Expo line to take that from Culver City down to downtown for SIGGRAPH a few times. It generally turns out to be far better to drive yourself somewhere if you can than it turns out to be to take any of the metro lines. I've also taken the Gold Line from Pasadena down to downtown and back up again. But like I said, it mostly just goes downtown until the Expo line opens up that takes you all the way to Santa Monica. Then it's going to be like that could actually be useful because then you can dodge all the beach traffic and just get on a moving car full of hot people. So that'll be good. And I meant temperature-wise, not attractive.
Oh, I thought this was another LA thing.
Mm-mm. Nope. Definitely not true for everybody. But
I was in LA like 10 years ago and took the transit system from the airport to somewhere. And isn't it like weirdly elevated with all these crazy platforms?
Oh, I think you took there's a route that goes to Long Beach. I think you might have been on that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, okay. That one is elevated. And the first time I saw those stops, because they're also like really strangely high up there, I was like, that's weird. I don't go on because I don't really generally go to Long Beach. But most of the problem with the transit system is just that it's not like New York City or anything. There's no density to it. So it's very spread out. And if you were to use it, then you mostly need either a car or buses to get around. And the buses are painfully slow here to a degree that would seem ridiculous if you were to actually analyze the difference between taking a car somewhere and taking a bus somewhere. I think I looked at when I was commuting from my place to Culver City to use public transit would require 3 bus changes and it would take an hour and a half and it's a 15-minute drive. Yeah, 15-minute drive. So I was just like, you know, I was thinking about like trying to you know, use public transit for the good of the world. And I was just like, this is not feasible for me, but maybe sometime. Like I said, it's not available on maps, so I can't test it to see how it's working or if it's any better than Google Maps or planning or times or anything like that. And again, the only times I would really realistically use it would be to like take the Expo line downtown. But Google Maps pulls up that data just fine, so I got to give it to them for that. Mostly my complaints around the Maps app that I had in that post, which thanks to Jason Snell link blogging me and retweeting me, got like, I don't know, a ton of traffic, which was a little unexpected because then I just had people complaining to me about what I wrote. So the post mainly deals with the traffic side of things and the availability of traffic data and the way it handles routing. And some of the natural language-based location searching is not good. But location data in general, I would say, is pretty decent. There's another example of bad location data that I found yesterday by accident when I was looking for there's an Omsubi restaurant where there's 2 locations. They have the original and then one they just opened up 6 months ago, a year ago. And one of them's in Santa Monica and one of them's Culver City. And I don't know if you're familiar with omsubi. It's they're like rice balls with stuff inside. It's really, really, really good. Wrapped in seaweed. But
isn't that sushi?
No. Well, it's all like it's cooked stuff. Anyway, like you can get it with a chicken curry on the inside of it, and it's the Japanese style curry sauce, not the Indian style curry sauce. I don't know if you've had that. In
Japanese curry, I've had these rice balls. I have not.
No. Okay. Well, Japanese curry that it's stuffed inside of rice, wrapped in a seaweed leaf. It's good. I would recommend it if you can find an omsubi place in Toronto. But so this place, Sunny Blue, has these two locations, and I very quickly just wanted to get there and use the convenience of Siri to just remember where it was, because I knew it was either on Washington Place or Washington Boulevard, which are two parallel streets that one of them will have one business and one of them won't have it at all. And so I was querying Siri for that, and I was like, give me directions to Sunny Blue. Sure enough, it pulls up the location in Santa Monica and doesn't see the other location at all. I'm like, okay, well, maybe Siri just made a mistake. And because I knew from experience that you can get different search results when you type in a command into Maps than when you ask Siri something. So I went and I typed it into Maps, and it still only gave me the Santa Monica location. But it's weird because the other location is available in Yelp, and in Apple Maps is supposed to be using Yelp data, so that's also confusing. Google Maps was totally fine with this. But again, this is another example where it's just like, this is just weird. Like, I don't understand why this little tiny gap exists. But most of the other stuff surrounding Maps is, you know, the locations have generally been fine because they're relying so heavily on that Yelp data. I don't know why it was different than one particular case, but...
Yeah, I had a weird location issue yesterday where we were having an election, so I was walking to go do the advance voting, and it put the location for the voting on, like, a different section of the street. So it said it was on Weber Street East instead of Weber Street West.
Yeah, and I used to have a problem with the north and south for my apartment.
Didn't you say that you were, like, always getting directions to your neighbors?
Well, I would have to query directions for my neighbor because they didn't figure out where I was. But sometime within the last 6 to 8 months, they seem to have fixed the location. So I can query my actual street address and get there.
Did you do the file a complaint process?
Yes. This is another frustrating piece of feedback that I received, was that people asking me why I wasn't filing complaints. And I am. You do. And I have been since I started using the app. But then I also complain about it because I'm a human being and I can do that. I have the technology.
Well, it shouldn't take 6 to 8 months to fix that.
Well, it wasn't 6 to 8 months because I've been reporting my addresses wrong since the day you could report it inside of Maps, which I think was launch day. They had the dropped pin and you could report. And nothing happened. And I was incredibly frustrated by this because it kept happening. It like went through iOS 6, 7, and 8, and it was still wrong. And I would check like every 6 to 8 months and report again inside of there. Because at one point, they figured out I didn't live in the Four Seasons, which was good because I can't afford that. And so then they figured out that I lived somewhere in the proximity of where I actually live. But not actually in my place. So I had to really just be very specific with them again and again and again. And apparently somebody was just like, you know, this person's complaining a bunch. We should probably do something about it. And it was the kind of complaint where it was, hey, this is absolutely right in Google Maps and it's completely wrong in your app. So again, once more with feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the, other thing about that is that the complaint process is also a little weird if you have some sort of error that has to do with the directions that they handed you, where I've just been dropping pins and reporting it, like as part of the, because there's a little thing that says like other issue. And so you click on that, tap on that. People get so frustrated when you say click with an iOS device. But so you tap on that and fill out the little form there and you can attach a photo. So I've been attaching screenshots of all of the bad things that it told me to do, like jump across white lines where it is not legal for you to make a lane change. It had me do those sorts of things several times, and I didn't actually execute the turns. It was smart enough to figure out to reroute me because I wasn't making those turns. But I still reported them anyways because it was just like, hey, you know, this is not illegal move here. This is called a moving violation. Just a little frustrating, in my opinion. Yeah.
Kind of to your point with the changing lanes where you shouldn't be, the walking directions in San Francisco were like really awkward a lot of the time. And you'd think like that would be the one city where they'd have it right. And it would tell you to go like all the way around like some weird way when you could have just taken like a side street. It was very weird. It always would take me like an extra like half a mile to a mile on a walk.
I saw some of that. This is before iOS 9 was released. I saw some of that with mapping directions when I would look up things in relation to where we were at hotels, because I didn't pay for data, so I just received the Wi-Fi. I would look up where things were relative to hotels, and there was this one time where I was looking up the nearest Barclays, which they had like a partnership with my bank where I could go use my ATM there without a fee. And I was looking up where the nearest one was, and there were two near, but it was routing me to the further one, and it was also giving me directions to like go around this like weird triangle block thing, and I was just like, there's an alley right here. I just walked down, and then I'm there, like on the street. I don't understand. And you could see the alley on the map too. So it wasn't like it wasn't there. It was just like, I guess they just don't count that for walking because they don't want you walking down alleys or something or whatever. But it was just like, it was broad daylight. So it was weird.
Yeah. I've got two other things about my trip that we might want to chat about before we switch to our closing topic.
Okay, go ahead.
First one, I went to the Apple retail store at the Apple campus. The newly redesigned one.
Uh-huh.
It's really, really cool. So, like, you walk in and there's, like, this gigantic floor-to-ceiling, wall-to-wall TV with just, like, massive iPhones and iPads twirling towards freedom. And it's, all the walls have that, like, wood texture that you saw in the photos that I think were on 9to5 Mac. And
I didn't actually look at it.
Oh, I'll send you the link. They look really cool. So they're like these inset wood walls that are like these gorgeous shelves like you would find in like Burberry. And inside, so like in the headphone area, they have like these wooden spheres that just have the headphones sitting on them and everything's like color coordinated and minimal, but looks really cool. It's weird here. I don't know if they're going to put it in the other stores, but all the stock is in the back. So if you want like a watch band, they have to like go to the back and get it for you. But okay. The displays are like ridiculously nice, and the stores, it feels very different.
Okay. So, well, yeah. Good for Angela. I assume that was her influence.
Yeah. And at this store, you can buy Apple novelty t-shirts.
That's nice.
Yeah, they're very punny. They have one that's just like the iMessage dot 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 typing symbol.
Which one did you buy?
I didn't actually get one.
Oh, Marco. It was your one shot. Your one chance.
No, I'm going to be back there.
Okay. All right. Well, and then?
Then I forgot to mention earlier, I met up with Jason Snell when I was in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I want to meet him. Sometimes he comes down to Los Angeles and he says like, hey, I'm going to be in LA if you want to hang out. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I can't really leave work so I can hang out around the Burbank area. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. And he tells me where he is. And I'm like, oh, you're really far from me.
LA is a big place.
He still says LA, even though technically I would not consider where he is LA. Not to triangulate or disclose anything. It's just far. but yes, I would like to meet him.
He's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to a place called the 21st Amendment, which was really cool. It's like a brew pub, and just had a good talk. We mostly talked about advertising, as I think that's where our most mutual interests lie.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, but he's great, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's good that he met up with you. That's nice.
Yeah. That was my story.
Are we awkwardly transitioning to our last topic now?
So speaking of things that'll happen between now and when we talk again.
Yes. apparently, and this is kind of frustrating. Apparently, they are still not really disclosing a date or anything for the Apple TV, which is a little weird because they said that it would be shipping in October. So we took that to mean like, oh, well, they'll announce a date later, like maybe the last week of September. They didn't. And it's we're going into the second week here of October and nothing yet. So that's a little strange as well. Maybe they'll announce this week, Tuesday or Wednesday or something, and they'll be like, hey, so store's up, things there, go buy it, and we go do that. But it seems a little strange that it's been so quiet about that and that it would be like a surprise. Like, I would think like at some point there'd be a press release like, hey, it'll be on Tuesday, it'll be on next week, or it'll be, you know, something. Like, there's nothing, and there's not even like one of those little rumor mill rumors about like, oh, it'll be next Wednesday, everybody stay up at midnight to pre-order yours. I don't know, nothing. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, I guess, 2 weeks to pre-announce it and 3 weeks to just like immediately turn on shipping.
Well, I mean, I just thought it was weird that they said shipping in October and like there's no date yet and it is October. So
on the website, it just says coming soon.
Yeah, but when they were making their announcements, they said shipping in October.
Yeah, I feel like that might have slipped.
Well, if it slipped, they shouldn't say things about it. And I also don't know why it would slip. I mean, by all accounts, the device itself does not use any like things super special in terms of the hardware. The remote is a little finicky, but
it might be the software.
Well, if it's the software, then you know what? That's too bad, because they remember how all the delays have been about how they needed to polish the software some more? That's what their line was, not the OTT service. Like those rumors that had leaked during the summer, and they're like, oh, totally wasn't the fact that we couldn't ship with an OTT service. It was because the software wasn't polished yet. And so that's why we delayed. And like it was supposed to be a WWDC, but it wasn't finished yet. And so now I get the feeling that it should be finished. But if it isn't, then I don't understand why. Because I looking at the functionality of it, it's actually not doing all that much more other than having Siri in it and stupid parallaxing movie poster things.
I would disagree with that, because they have like their whole API powering all the apps, so now they have to test all of those rather than just the weird web views that they had before.
Well, I know, but those are it's loading third-party apps, which they should have down at this point with iOS.
Yeah, but it's more the support inside the OS and making sure everything's working correctly and that there's no bugs and security leakages and things like that.
Okay. Again, like, they announced a shipping date, and they're not making it, so.
Well, we don't know that. They have 3 weeks to still make it.
Okay. All right. You're right. They could just materialize it at some point. I'm just saying, this just seems weirdly delayed, and I don't know why. And
should we have a wager over like a delicious pastry of whether they make October?
No, because I don't care that much. But because I imagine that they will, and it'll be like, I don't know, like the 31st, they'll have it available for ordering or something, just to screw with me. it's very odd, especially when you consider that the Amazon Fire TV, latest version of that was announced after the Apple TV was announced and is already shipping. It started shipping on the 9th. And when you consider the fact that the Roku 4 was announced and will be shipping soon as well with a ship date, then it's just like, okay, so again, why is Apple, the biggest company in the world, so behind the ball on this? Like why are they not out front with their own thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to look at it, I think. That's a fair argument in November.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it at that then. And but now that I've brought up Amazon, what do you make of the whole withholding from the store thing?
I think it's a good way to get news coverage as people wait for the Apple TV. I think it's going to change when the new Apple TV is out and they can make an app for it, because then that argument becomes moot.
I think in an earlier episode, I had speculated that it is possible that Amazon might not want to ever make an app, even if they got the ability to do so. So I'm not so confident that it's going to change, and I don't necessarily care one way or the other. I wouldn't buy it from Amazon, even if it was available there. I would still go through Apple to buy it, because there's not like a huge price difference. It doesn't like really save you much of anything. There's no perk from that process.
Yeah, it's just such a terrible business strategy because it's a service and you want it on all your devices, and Amazon isn't really a great hardware company. And
no. Well, the thing is, they do some hardware better than other hardware. They're an inconsistent company, because a lot of that also has to do with the software they put on the device. And so people love their Kindles. People do not especially enjoy their Fires. No one bought the Fire Phone. But people seem to enjoy their Fire TV sticks and their Fire TVs. Although I know David Lohr of The Incomparable, who writes the Incomparable Radio Theater dramas, has said that he will do horrible and unspeakable things to his Amazon Fire TV once the new Apple TV ships. That's fine, I suppose. But the latest version of the Fire TV does include a lot of functionality, so it can be very persuasive for many customers to consider getting it. It's weird that they're relying so much on their video services as a distinguishing feature and a reason citing it as customer confusion for withholding products that don't support it from the store. Because I don't really... It's sort of a weird argument. It's like they also sell other things that potentially can't run Amazon.
Posturing.
Yeah. So but it's not against like universally everything. Like Roku has Amazon support inside of their devices, and so they're still in the Amazon store. But I don't know the terms of that. I have to imagine that Roku is very generous in their relationship with Amazon there, and that is why it is still there and why it was ever on the device at all. I don't know that Apple and Google are feeling especially generous towards Amazon in terms of the kinds of stuff that they're going to do. And there was a discussion about this on The Last Upgrade with Jason Snell and Mike Hurley, where they were talking about how, you know, and I agree, like, there's no reason why they have to sell the device. It's just weird that they used to sell the device, and then they stopped, and this is the reason they gave. And so that's just worth a little, like, head tilt, little side eye, because that doesn't seem to make any logical sense. Like, oh, it's not compatible, it's causing customer confusion. It's like, I don't know. The issue of whether or not Apple should allow Amazon on their devices and allow them to bypass the heavy cut that Apple takes for in-app purchases and subscriptions. I don't really care. I don't necessarily feel very strongly one way or the other about it. That if Amazon is missing from the next Apple TV completely and there's no app for it, and people are outraged by that, then maybe Amazon will do something. But since the ball is in their court, I'm just assuming that they won't, and it is all about in-app purchases and subscriptions. So I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I wonder like if this is starting to signal that Amazon is changing how they want to be in the market. Like they used to be the everything store, and now they're becoming like more the Amazon store. And I wonder if that's going to hurt them in the long run. Like they're starting to do some weird stuff. Like they have their own version of Etsy now.
Yeah, and I saw that. That was weird.
Like, are they kind of just throwing stuff to see? Like they've always kind of just thrown stuff to see what sticks as their general business strategy. But it seems now they're being a bit more aggressive in their flailing.
Well, I think part of it has to do with the margins that they make on these things. And they want to, if they can remove somebody who they are the middleman for and then just make the product themselves, they would like to do that. Or the service themselves, and they would like to do that. And so, like, Amazon, with their video offerings, like, they want to have that there so they have a relationship with the customer so that they go to their store and buy through them, and they don't go to somebody else's store and buy through them. But in terms of, like, Etsy, I don't see what that gets them, because I thought they were trying to get away from all the shipping stuff because they were having so many issues with the amount of money that shipping costs for everyone to get 2-day shipping, which turns out isn't always actually accurate. So that is, again, another reason why, like, they're trying to emphasize all the other things that Prime has other than shipping. So I think it's weird that they're opening up new businesses that rely on shipping things at the same time. But, you know, who knows? Maybe this is all part of a really super smart strategy, and then we'll all get Washington Post delivered to our doors as part of an overnight delivery service. I have no idea.
That sounds terrible.
Yep. But that about covers that, wouldn't you say?
I think so, unless you feel the need to comment on Elon Musk.
I don't care. here's the thing, is I know there's a lot of tech news where it's like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so said that. And it's like, okay, I just don't, like, what is this, TMZ? Like, who cares? It's a schoolyard. Like, grow up, people. Yeah. So, you know, of course he's going to say something like that. That's just petulant. And it's not really worth dragging it out into this big thing. I think the bigger controversy is the unveiling of the Model X, which I think did not produce a decent car, but what we'll see how that bears out in the market. And I don't really want to argue about it, because it's a theoretical thing until this thing ships. But the doors, the back doors, the super crazy,
the Falcon
wacko wing? I here's the thing, the Model X was supposed to be a car for everybody, like back then when it was pitched. Like the model the first Tesla was supposed to be like a high-end sports car, and then they were going to have their next car, which would be a little further down market, and then more people could buy it, and that was the Tesla. That's still expensive. And then they were supposed to have the Tesla Model S, and then they were supposed to have the Model X, and that was going to be an SUV, and it'd be more accessible, more available, cheaper still for people than the Model S. And I don't know, it just still doesn't seem that accessible. It seems like a lot of the money went to those doors, and I just don't understand why. And he spent a long time talking about the air filter, and it's got the biohazard symbol on it. And I, you know, here's the thing, it's like I saw that unveiling and all the little things tucked into it, and it was just like, you know that episode of The Simpsons where Homer works on a car and unveils? Yep. Yeah, that's what it felt like when I saw that thing. I was just like, this is a hideous monstrosity. And it you know, I'm all for electric cars being more widely available. Even, you know, I even like the Model S. I think it is a very attractive car, and I see it quite often on the streets of LA. Because while we might be behind on transit, we are way ahead on offering electrical vehicle parking spots for people with fancy cars. I don't understand what he's going for, and he just seems like a Bond supervillain every single time. So I'm just waiting for these cars to do something horrible to people. But they're not. But those doors and how much effort they spent on those doors. Just like, you know, was it worth it for those necessarily? Like,
yeah,
was that really?
Go ahead. Someone put forward a theory that the doors are like being commercialized here to be used later when these become completely independent cars that are just like self-driving personal rapid transit that you can just call up without a driver, and that's why they've been engineering the resources into there. So that was a cool theory.
I don't know. Going back briefly, I know we're just about to end the episode, but sorry, you're not released yet. Humans, listen. Going back to the self-driving stuff, there are all these rumors about Apple, and specifically what Elon Musk was, talking trash about at the schoolyard, was that Apple lured away Tesla engineers and they're working on their own car. And it's very obvious they're working on their own car. Colbert made a joke about it when Tim Cook was on Stephen Colbert's show. It's fine that they're working on it. But a lot of people take that to mean like they know exactly what it is and like it's going to be this thing and why hasn't it shipped yet? And it's just like, everyone, cool your jets. Let's look at how bad Maps is and then be like, let's wait on the car. Like, it's fine. You guys take your time. You get that car and we'll get this going. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I just question how soon people think it'll happen. Because a lot of people are like, oh, Uber's working on driverless cars. Apple's working on driverless cars. Tesla's working on driverless cars. Everyone's going to have driverless cars and they're all going to be electric and everything's going to be driving around all over the place. It'll be so imaginationally great. And it's just like, you guys, not happening like the next 3 years at least. And even then, you look at something like how widely available transit information is. And it's like, okay, so you want to talk about self-driving cars and their availability? Like, you're going to see some on the streets of Palo Alto, but you're not going to find that coming to your your little regional road out in Alabama. Like, that's not happening anytime soon. It's not that I don't want the future. It's just that I think people get too excited about the future when the more concrete concerns of today can be reflected upon.
Yeah, I think we gotta talk about both. But I'm excited for the self-driving future. That's gonna be fun. But it's like 5 to 10 years out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have a friend of mine is worked on, past tense, because he's not doing robot cars as much as he's doing robots, which don't have wheels, so it's different. But robot cars.
Are they actual robots?
Yes. And that's, I know you're trying to make a joke, but they're literally, they are robots. That stuff is really interesting, like how they can navigate on roads by themselves. I went to there was the DARPA Urban Challenge, which DARPA is an army thing. Don't worry about it.
I know.
the military funding, no big deal. But out in Victorville, it was what, 4 or 5 years ago? And the DARPA Urban Challenge was a car going around on some streets and parking and navigating around other moving cars, which I would be really nervous. I was one of the other people in those cars, but everyone did okay. Different companies presented different things, and it was interesting to see how technology has progressed since then, because like Stanford won the challenge, I think, with their, they had like a VW that they tricked out and it was like Red Bull logos and stuff, sponsorships. And so that guy from that went to Google and was working on their stuff. And so to see their cars, which can drive around, much better than they were able to at this challenge from 4 or 5 years ago, is very interesting. Because that means that it has been a rapid development of the technology behind it. But it's just, again, I'm not sure it's going to... I don't think it's shipping next summer. So let's concentrate on where the driverless car will take you with the bad mapping directions, and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah, at some point I'd like to talk about the social issues that'll come up once we have driverless cars. Because it's going to be, I think, like one of those you can't take our guns away type things.
Oh, you know, the end of last week's Accidental Tech podcast, there's a lament for the manual transmission going away. And I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah, but wait until like people have to talk about not actually controlling their vehicle.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. It's like there are people who are so upset about the manual transmission going away. I can't imagine how they're going to feel about robot cars. And so that's the thing. It's just like, I personally don't care about the control. I don't enjoy driving. And if I don't even need to pay attention, if there was just like a completely quiet little room you went into, and there was nothing from the outside world affecting you, and you didn't have to worry about traffic or anything, it would just like tell you what your estimate was, and then you would get there and just be like, this is amazing, stress-free, and I can just hang out and do stuff on my phone. I mean, it's not gonna be like that, of course. You're just gonna sit in a car and then you can panic as people are swerving around you and you can't do anything. So that's gonna be different.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But I have no love of actually driving. I don't enjoy it.
It's the worst.
All my life, I have searched for a car that feels a certain way. Powerful like a gorilla, yet soft and yielding like a Nerf ball. Now at last, I have found it.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the car designed for the average man, the Homer.